All right, so it's now our privilege this morning, everybody, to hear from the Word of God, and we're in for a treat because we're going to be hearing from a guest speaker. So we have the privilege of having Sister Elpida here. She's from the Evangelical Sisters of Mary, so we'll just welcome her, and also she's brought with her a lay person, so we've also got Lisa with us here this morning. Can we just really welcome them? It's great to have you here this morning. Thank you so much for coming. And just a brief introduction for those of you that don't know about the Evangelical Sisters of Mary. So they are friends of our community based in Camden, and I'll just read this short history on them. So the Evangelical Sisterhood of Mary Protestant is an international and interdenominational Christian community. Our Australian centre, established in 1981, is called Canaan of God's Comfort. It is the base for this ministry throughout Australia, New Zealand, Southeast Asia, and the Pacific Islands. We are actively involved in the local community and are also invited to hold retreats and to speak at churches and groups in the local area and across Australia. And Sister Elpida, she originally comes from Norway, and God sent her all the way to Australia to serve our nation, which is just wonderful. So I just really encourage you to open your hearts to what God wants to say through her this morning. And I believe we're also going to be hearing from Lisa as well. So Sister, we'll just welcome you now.
Well, it's a privilege to be here with you again, as it always is. Excuse me, I just did some singing, so I think I need that water bottle. Thank you. Sorry about that. Well, Lisa and I, Lisa, do you want to come up already? We want to do this sharing together in tandem. And so we take turns. And Lisa is very much a part of our community and works together with us, and has actually, well, I won't take anything away from her own testimony, but she's been with us for a long time, went away for a long time, came back in recent years. And I just wanted to share, first of all, about my name, Sister Elpida. What does that mean? Hope. So I'm Sister Hope. Well, I assure you, I need hope as much as you do. So because it doesn't always come naturally, God gives you a goal of faith. So mine is to keep hope when I don't feel very hopeful. And we look at the times we are in, and I certainly feel I need God's hope for this time that we are in. We receive the name just very factually, that we don't all go around with the Marys and Annas and Ruths, and that we know each individual sister by name, because in a large community that we are, in our headquarters where we all started as sisters, well, there is 100 people, and it would be difficult to know which Mary or which Anna or which Ruth. So we thought it was very practical to ask God, and as a sign of a new beginning with him, for him and through him, to get a new name. So my name has very much to do with the story of Easter. So my class that I started in has the name Emmaus. What a wonderful story that is in the Bible. And what did the disciples receive on that road to Emmaus? Hope, new beginning with the Lord. And I won't go any further because we have more other things to share, but just so that you know the reason behind sometimes strange names that you can encounter with us. We have some real tongue breakers. You got the real easy one with me. And I just also wanted to share with you at Camden, where we have our community, Canaan of God's Comfort. It's such an important name, God's heart. It weeps for us. It cares about us. It beats for us. But do we ever consider that that's too what he is longing for us? That we can sense his heartbeat, especially in days like we are experiencing since COVID, especially. So Canaan of God's Comfort, that we are there for him as much as we need him for us. And I was really touched during this worship, and I could sense his presence in such a deep way when the you were leading us in this chorus, Jesus, Jesus, friend forever. And let also from everything you hear from us today, I'd really like that that is the label over this meeting. Jesus, Jesus, friend forever. And so before I go any further into what I'm wanting to share, I just want you to introduce yourself so you can go straight into your testimony afterwards. Or would you prefer to do it afterwards? Afterwards? Okay. So would you prefer to? Yes, that's what I wanted you to do. So I'll ask Lisa to do the Bible reading. Yeah. Yeah. I sometimes have great sudden thoughts, and then they kind of, we are very good at ping pong balling with each other.
Okay, I hope you can understand me, being from New Zealand. Okay, so today's subject is going to be based in Matthew chapter 18 and verses 21 to 35. Then, so the title is Jesus tells the parable of the unforgiving debtor. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive somebody who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put into prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I have had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart.
So yes, that's a serious text, isn't it? And I was thinking more than thinking, it was just going through my spirit and my heart as we were singing together, because it took us through so many realms of our walk with the Lord Jesus, the different songs. And one was based also on the Bible verse, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And how many times have we heard that Bible verse? How many times have we spoken it? And how many times have we read it? And you wonder, Lord, I believe, I claim, I trust. When are you going to set me free from these thoughts or from those feelings or from whatever it is that is such a burden to carry through life. And as we were singing and worshiping, it was like the Lord allowed me to go on a little walk with him. And I've been on this walk a long time as a sister. I was accepted into the sisterhood in 1972. And I was definitely not what you would call somebody that people would have thought would have chosen a pathway like that. I still remember a very crisp English, British accent saying as it was announced. And she said, oh, she doesn't have the feel as a sister. And I knew that, and that's why I struggled so hard to even accept that it could be true. What in the world are you calling me for? Look around, there's so many, so much better. Please, Lord. I actually want to be a stewardess before I start to study and then settle down. Could you give me some more time? But the Lord was very persistent. And you know, it was his love that overcame my fear of following him. He literally touched me in such a way that I could feel his embrace. And we sang about that. And I know it's a reality. It's not just beautiful words. And when I received the dress, he revealed himself as the bridegroom of our souls. I know that's not just a spiritual high. He actually showed himself. And throughout the walk with him, he revealed himself as the one who does set us free. Because I was certainly right in one thing, I did not fit. And that lady who spoke with that lovely British accent, she certainly was right. I did not have the feel of a sister, because there is no such thing as a sister who has it all. Because we are all sisters on the walk together with the Lord. And it doesn't matter if we are in a dress like this, or if we are a full-time mission service, or if he needs us out in the working field. We are all called to be that representative of him and for him, to be that missionary or that sister, if you like, for him, first of all to him, but then to those around us. And you know, I could share many things when he stepped in, when the walk was totally impossible. I could not take a step further. But he stepped in. I could give many testimonies of the reality of Jesus. But you know what I found the most difficult of all? Living in unity. And our talk today has to do about that unity and how the Lord longs for that forgiveness to be a reality in our lives for those who we don't get along with. Even more, for those who hurt you, and for those who maybe speak very badly about you. And believe me, we are a normal group of people. We are not free from it. We have to battle. And we have to really embrace forgiveness when the other side cannot see that there is anything wrong. But it causes me night and day battling before the Lord. Or other way around, maybe it's me doing that. And so there's one thing that we really learn, and that is to ask the Lord, give me your light. And we are a faith ministry in every way, not just a faith walk, as we all are called to be. But we are a faith walk in the practical way that we pray for the food, either that we receive the money, we can go and buy it, or that somebody feels called to bring something to our door, and we experience both. Or it can be that we need equipment that we need for the ministry, and we can't go and buy it because we don't have the money, but we can pray. And just even in the COVID years, the Lord, oh, he had so many surprises for us. But at the same time, he was dealing very much with our hearts. And I'll just read something to you that is an experience that we had from the very beginning of our sisterhood, because it's not just about me, us, you, being able to walk this walk. Because wherever we are, wherever we are placed, if I walk this walk of forgiveness or not, it actually has consequences for the ministry of your family, the ministry, wherever God placed you. In my case, the Sisterhood of Mary, can he bless it or am I a hindrance to it? Am I willing for him to shed his light into my heart? Am I really willing to pray that prayer again and again? Give me your light. Let me see myself as you see me. Let me see myself even as my sister sees me. That can be quite difficult, I believe me. So I want to share something with you, because this sisterhood grew out of the ruins of World War II, Germany bombed to pieces. And there was very little money. And we started in 1947. And everything was lacking, food, things to build with. God called us to build, first of all, a house of worship for himself. And it was at this time, this chapter was written down in somebody's prayer book and then later on put into a book, very well known, called Realities of Faith, used worldwide since then. God wants to be petitioned in all distresses. And it's so well written that I thought I'll share it with you. Prayer tent, miracle tent. The sister in charge of the masonry work on our building site told this story. In July 1950, the year of my birth, but I was still a baby. But at this time, God was paving the way. Mother Materia came to us on the building site. The sisters just began 1947. They'd been called to establish this retreat center. And the first house, as I said, a chapel to worship him, a chapel for him to reveal himself. She told us the Bible story of Nehemiah building Jerusalem's walls. All events in the Bible should be expressed in the present tense. Now, I'd like to repeat that sentence. All the events in the Bible should be expressed in the present tense of today. That's what she's told us. Because the laws of Scripture are also valid today. This led to the thought that we should erect a prayer tent beside the building site, and to build a house of the Lord with prayer as well as with a trowel. After that, I think that means a spade, right? Yeah. After that, we had a prayer tent on our plot of land. It stood forth as a sign of reality of the power of prayer, of the reality of the living God who answers petitions and performs miracles today. Just a minute. I think I got into the 28. And so that was the beginning to that. And so now you will see the prayer tent in action. God waits for cleansing. And this title underneath says, the derailed dump cart. Why? We experienced not only positive miracles. Did you know there was something else than positive miracles? Well, yes. But there are also many negative ones. At long range, one sees clearly an open way for a faith project. And those who are leaders can really say yes, amen to that. But then, so it seems to us, God creates hindrances. But actually, there are none. He closes doors that were wide open for others. He erects barricades. This is something we have experienced again and again up to the present day. The reason behind it is that because he loves us, God often wants to give us something greater than the immediate necessity which we pray for. God wants to provide us with something greater than the immediate answer. God wants to fill us with his own glory. We had a touch of that glory here today. Now, is there something more that he wants to give in that glory before we can even receive it? This is what he created us for and redeemed us to. And this is his greatest expression of his fatherly love. For then we can again become the expression of his image. Lord, change me. Change me to become an image of you on this earth. That's what he longs for. And so he has to discipline us, for we are sinners. Such chastenings become a part of one's everyday experience. The sisters who worked on the construction of the chapel, she told this story. We had a very heavy dump cart. It doesn't go automatic like it does today. It was by hand power, a lot of it. Yeah, which ran on a small track. One day it started skipping off the track, although we were praying in regular shifts in the prayer tent, that God would bless and make successful our construction work. The cart weighed several hundred pounds. It was a troublesome and time-consuming task for the sisters to get it back on the track each time. This continued to happen, interrupting the work and sapping the energy of the sisters, until finally the sister in charge then said, "We can't go on like this. All of you, come on, all of us will go into the prayer tent. We'll stop working." In the prayer tent, we prayed together, and here it comes. We asked God to reveal to us why he had taken away his blessings from our work today. You have to realize these building sisters, or builders' sisters, they were between 17 and 25 years old. They had only studied in their lives or gone to school, so they had no idea except for a few hands here and there to give them a hand and show them what to do. Yes. And so, yes, God did reveal to them what stopped the blessing, not just not knowing how to do it. Then it came out. Here, a sister was harboring something in her heart against another sister. And then just put yourself in the situation. I think you can relate. Or there, another one had gotten angry with another one. For example, one had worked too slow, the other one too fast, to suit the other. Or one had shoveled sand carelessly and gotten some in the eye of another sister. Or one, this is a serious one, hadn't cleaned the machinery properly, so they ran into a real problem because of that. All this had taken place without being cleansed away. The sisters had allowed angry judgments and condemnation to creep in and build up tension in our midst. Can any one of us relate to this? I think so. Yes. And so it happens to all of us. Yeah. Yeah. These sins against love stood between us and God, and our prayers couldn't go beyond the ceiling, that feeling we've all had. It goes this far. And bumps down on your head. Yeah. Now, the painful guilt of these judgments, these sins against love, came to us. We begged forgiveness of one another. We came as poor sinners to God and received afresh his gracious forgiveness. We went back to work, and believe me, this is a true story. The dump cart never once jumped that track again. Father, we thank you. It is a true story. Yeah. Another day, the cement mixer stopped. Yeah. It's an ongoing work of the Lord, isn't it? We couldn't get it started again. Everything we tried failed, including the efforts of those who knew something about the miracles. And about the machine, I mean. It stood idle a day and a half. The Lord had revealed to us that time was precious in the building of this chapel, and every hour counted. So we discerned that he must be grieved with us and therefore couldn't answer our prayers for help. Then he showed us that we had not expressed an attitude of love. So this time there wasn't the irritation, it was the lack of love. Towards one of the co-workers, a man who had tried to help us as a temporary worker. Everyone tried to avoid working with him. He was rather difficult. Or he got impatient with them. We prayed, understandably. We prayed together, confessing this sin and again asking for the Lord's help. The cement mixer started working again, though nothing outward was changed or had been done to make it work better. So we recognize that the basis for God's hearing of prayer is the word of Scripture. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. As I can sense, the eyes of the Lord are upon you here. And his ears are open to their prayer. His ears are open to your prayers, all the things that you're doing for his kingdom. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. 1 Peter 3:12. These fatherly disciplines along the way shamed and humbled us. When God did not answer our prayers, the entire sisterhood learned to ask at once, "What do you see in us that hinders your answer to our prayers? What is wrong in my relationship with you? What have I allowed that is not pleasing to you?" Our prayers in the prayer tent had been fruitless on these days simply because we had not taken seriously what Jesus said about the proper basis for our prayers. So he had to let us learn by experience how seriously he takes his own word. How seriously he takes his own word. He will not accept prayers from hearts unwilling to forgive and live in the love. Then the question, yes, we want to live in love with each other. We pray for that gift of love, or that the Lord will just grant it to us, that we can see him in the other one. But then, how about the situation where there is no bridge? Because the bridge can only go halfway. We can build it to the doorstep, so to speak, of the other person. But there is a blocked door. Then, what do we do? Where do we go from there? Do we stand there in front of that door, hammering? But because the hinderness to actually go walk through that doors can sometimes be with us. But sometimes it's a resistance on the other side as well. And you can only get that far. And then leave it to God for the day when he reveals what he wants to do. And there are so many situations that we cannot do ourselves. And sometimes we have come to the place where we can just stand before him and say, "Here I am, Lord. If there's anything else, show it to me. But otherwise, all I can do now is to leave it with you." And there is so much that the Lord wants to do. And it's hard to see that things that have gone wrong can't be cleared up the way we would like it to be cleared up. But then again, he will deal with me, and I will trust that he will have to deal with the other one. And that in his time, he will show and step in. And on this pathway, it's so important not to let bitterness grow or resentment, and to give God the time that he needs, and to trust him that he has a way. But it has to be his way. And the main thing is that each one of us, where we are, that our hearts are in his light. And we can only say, over to you, God. You are in charge, and you have a way. And Lisa actually has, as part of this talk today, we wanted to share this story that what happens when we want to force the other one to see, at least his or her part, just acknowledge you had something to do with it. The rest I'm willing to carry. But sometimes it's very serious situations. And many of you have found yourself in similar situations. And sometimes it's serious consequences that you have. Maybe you had to leave the work because of the lies of another one. And that can happen even in the Christian workplaces. And so how do you deal with it?
Well, as Sister Alpita shared, my name is Lisa and I come from New Zealand. And I first came into the contact with the sisters when I was 17 years old. And I didn't come from a Christian family. I actually came across, I was very anti-God actually. And then someone gave me a testimony written from about a sister. And in that moment, I experienced such a transformation that I thought, surely no Christians can live like this. In forgiveness and repentance and in reconciliation daily with each other. I've never experienced it and I've never seen it. And so I want to go and see with my own eyes if this is really true. And so as a 17-year-old, I packed up from New Zealand and I went to Australia. I had written to the sisters and wanted to experience their community. And so I lived there for 3 years. And during that time, I can honestly say I did experience God in really miraculous ways in terms of his forgiveness towards me. But then a situation happened with another volunteer that was living in the community. And I felt really hurt by this this other volunteer. And I can remember trying and trying and trying to forgive. And I really pleaded with the Lord. But nothing shifted in my heart. And then this volunteer moved and I thought, oh, that's good. Problem solved. The person's moved on. This is great. Now I can forgive. And about a year later, the Lord took me to the same place this person had gone to. And this was over in Germany at the headquarters of the sisters. And I thought, oh no, this is going to be interesting. And really, probably for the first three or four months, everything was good. And then suddenly, this immense bitterness surfaced in my heart. And I was praying through it with a sister. I was trying to deal with it on my own with the Lord. But it just grew. And it didn't seem to matter what I did. It just grew all the more stronger. And so in the end, I felt I was being destructive to myself, that I'd be destructive to the community. And so the best thing for me to do was run away. And so that's what I did. And I thought, look, if I don't live in the same country, if I'm not around that person, it resolves the issue for me. And so I left the community and I went back to New Zealand. But that bitterness just, it grew. And in the end, it really caused so much distance between me and the Lord. And I lost confidence in who God was. And I became so self-destructive in my own life, in my own personal life. And I started making really poor decisions, but at the same time, I could still hear God talking to me, wanting me to get to that point of forgiveness. But I remember saying to myself, Lord, I can forgive that person, if they just come and say sorry, if they just come back to me and can say, look, I'm sorry for the way I hurt you, then that's it. That's all I need to hear. But he didn't grant me that. He really pointed me back to the way of the cross and going back to the parable that we read about, that he showed me so much mercy and forgave me everything I did. And now he was asking me to learn to forgive without hearing the words from the other person, I'm sorry. And to this day, I can say, I have never heard those words. But the Lord did get me to the point of really being able to forgive. And I remember it was just really still. I really hadn't thought about this person in many years. And when I say many years, it was 23 years later. And I had long left a lot of my relationship with the Lord. But suddenly one night, I just heard God's voice. And he said to me, you know, if you go to that person and you demand to hear that apology, that they're sorry, what value is it for you? What validity is there for you in hearing that apology? Because you're not getting the apology because the person's seen the light. You're receiving the apology because you're demanding it. And that won't bring any healing or restoration to myself, but rather be willing to walk through this journey with him and let him heal and restore the hurt that the situation had caused. And for the first time in my life, in that moment, I could actually choose to not hear the I am sorry. I could choose, okay, Lord, I will walk this way with you and you help heal and restore that bitterness and that resentment that's in my heart. And I can honestly say he did that work. 23 years later, with a lot of pain and a lot of destruction, but he did it. And I think the most important thing for me was that my relationship was totally restored with the Lord. Because, you know, Sister Alpita talked that our journey is about a journey of faith. And I always reflect and I think, you know, Lord, why did I have to go through such a terrible time of suffering? And I know much of it was my own choice. But also I had to learn to have, for the Lord to develop an unshakable faith in my walk with him and an implicit trust where I never again questioned him to the point of losing confidence in who he is. And no matter what happens, and I think, great, I've learnt my lesson of forgiveness. That's fantastic. Won't have to go through that anymore. But, you know, the Lord called me back into the community, to the sisters, and I've been there for the last 5 years. And again, that pathway, coming back to the sisters, leaving a career and everything behind and family and a lot of other commitments that I had, and people just could not understand. And I had people saying, oh, you should come back to the prison service. You were made for this job. But I said to them, well, actually, the Lord has called me back on this journey. But many people could not understand that decision or my pathway. And they were believers as well. They weren't just non-believers looking. They were Christian believers. But again, this time, because of the pathway that the Lord had taken me on, I didn't lose confidence in who he was. And they couldn't deter me from the pathway that I knew the Lord had put me on. And so it helped me stand strong. And it became my unshakable pathway. And, you know, the Lord showed me, just like Noah. People didn't understand Noah when God said to him, build an ark. They thought, he's crazy. But the Lord showed me, Noah did what God commanded him to do. And that's all he was asking of me. And in my situation that I've experienced, he just asks, don't hold on to it, let it go. And that's not being dismissive, because we often encounter a lot of pain when we encounter hurts by other people. But the thing is, we imprison ourselves, and I really learned that for myself. I totally imprisoned myself and walked away from the Lord. And I don't want to ever experience that again. And I think for me, those songs this morning was just such a reminder of that. You know, when we also sang, Jesus, catch me up on your story. You know, because, you know, there's a period of time that we lose, and I can say that for myself, but I also know that he uses these things to bring us into such an intimate relationship of who he is for us. And for that, I wouldn't swap it out for anything. That I know who he is, and I know how he wants to change me going into the future. Yeah, and so I just want to encourage really anybody that, having experienced this in my own life, that, yeah, to reflect. And are there any people in your own personal lives where you've held on to some unforgiveness? Maybe it's hidden, maybe it's not in the light yet. But I think it's really good for us to go back and ask the Lord to show us, is there unforgiveness in my life where I'm the blockage of your blessing for my life, where I can release that person to release myself, and have the courage to take that step? Because for me, it held me back for 23 years because I felt I was going to let the person off lightly. But it wasn't about that. It was about Christ freeing myself. And for the other person, that was for God. It wasn't my place to judge. And I think the interesting thing for me was that when I was working in the prison service, and this had happened for me, this release of forgiveness towards that person, I heard two prisoners arguing. They were in a rehabilitation course, and I heard one got really offended, and he said, that's it, never coming again, not until you apologise. And I remember pulling him aside and saying, well, you can leave, but you're not doing any harm to that other person. They will continue on the course and likely to finish it, and you would have left, and you will create a pathway of destruction for yourself. Is that really what you want? And we were able to talk about it, and he then was able to forgive the other prisoner that had made comments to him, and he continued and he finished successfully. But if I had not gone through those lessons myself, then I wouldn't have had the hand to reach out and help somebody else. And I think that's the important thing for us, that when the Lord takes us through these things, they are not just for ourselves, but they are also so that we can reach out our hand to others and help them through and find a pathway to freedom. Because at the end of the day, it is the freedom that Christ wants to give us. And that, I'm so grateful that he took me on this 23-year pathway to find freedom and to really embrace the love of Christ that he has, not only for me, but the love that can be given back to him. So that's where...
The Bible verse that has come to me throughout this session is the one from Song of Songs. Would you mind opening it up? It's right there. And it's the one that talks about the foxes. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. And I really want to share that with you because these foxes are very clever, as we know. And the excuses that we have for forgiving are so manifold. And we find reasons not to forgive or to have that bitterness in our hearts. But we really need to know that foxes do destruct, and they do find a way to the innermost part of your being if we don't build that construction wall of God's protection against them. And we need to know that the enemy is very eager, very busy, and rejoices when he can catch us stumbling. Now, stumbling is one thing. We can stumble, we can fall, we can get angry, we can get bitter, but there is a way through it. And that is to plead and invite the Lord into this battle and let him help us fight it through together with him. And he will give us that victory, even if it takes 25 years. And I can say I've been on this pathway as a sister since 1972, and it's not 2023. It's quite a long pathway. But you know, this is a pathway the Lord lets us experience because he wants us to understand his heart, the heartbeat of God. He is experiencing so much bitterness, so much slander, so many lies, so much destruction of who he is that's being plastered and thrown across the globe many times over. And here I am, and I'm sitting in our newly renovated chapel, and we got a border around the chapel part. It's beautiful. And it has the words from the Beatitudes. And the one that jumps out at me says, the one about the persecution. And when they persecute you and talk all kinds of evil things about you, and then ... will I allow that to happen when it hits personally or when it hits the community? Will I then be able to believe and keep my eyes that way? And only people who have been close to you can hurt you in ways that nobody else is able to do. Are we then willing to seek his heart, to find the forgiveness that he gave to each and every one of us? It's important for your ministry with the servants of Jesus. It's important for our ministry because he calls us to a deeper level of trusting him in the midst of what is thrown at us. And that's why he says, look up, but watch out for those little foxes. They are cluey things. But God is even more clever, and he gives us his victory, and he gives us blessings in the midst of it. He even tells us to dance. Haven't quite reached that point yet, but I'll get there. But he is in the midst of your life, in the midst of your situation, and he has a way through it to be there for him, and he will let us experience Jesus did rise from the grave. Jesus is alive today, and he has a way for us to go through that grave of disappointment and pain, to be raised to a new life, to walk in his blessings for him and with him. So be encouraged. He is so close on that pathway. Yeah. And did you want? Yeah, would you mind taking and saying a prayer if you want to? Thank you.
There's nothing I can add to that. Except the emphasis on me rather than going to someone else. In the early days, we used to have these sort of talks, and there was one person who was very, very popular after, because a lot of people were saying they needed to ask, well, they had a problem with this person, so they went up to him. So don't do that after this meeting, please. Just as Lisa said, it was to look at me. That's the important thing, not to look at someone else. So, Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. We are blessed. Indeed, we're blessed. It's indeed the words that you give us in your word, which says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, for hiding these things from the clever and the wise and revealing them to us, your children, because it pleases you to give us the kingdom. We're grateful, Lord, that we can hear this message again, that hopefully, Lord, we can respond to your grace, and we can, Lord, go deeper in forgiveness and thereby getting greater freedom in you and greater freedom from our own problems, where that scripture that was quoted this morning, when the sun sets you free, you are free indeed. And we want to be freer after this talk than we were before it. So we pray that you, Holy Spirit, will continue to work on us this week, and that we, Lord, will be open to your Spirit so that we may be able to forgive more deeply. Amen. Amen. Thank you very, very much.